Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Europe's B2B SaaS podcast. My name is Patrick, and I'm very happy to welcome Thorsten Sauer, the head of digital sales at Uhlmann Pack Systeme, in today's episode. Hello, Thorsten. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. Excited for our discussion today, Thorsten. So let's dive right in. And we start with our two tactical tips. So I hand over to you.
Thank you very much. So the two tactical tips, I went through the history of the podcast, and I saw a lot of great episodes, how to do sales, how to get to the C-level, how to have always a full sales funnel. But what I was a bit missing, and this is what I see in our environment in sales today, is that you are okay, we have the pandemic today, so you work remotely, you have an overload of messages, emails, Zoom calls, Teams calls, and whatever. You do some social media, you have on LinkedIn some activities, and sometimes the day is a bit short, and some guys from the team, but myself as well, we were a bit struggling how to handle all that, take care about CRM system, of course, something like that. So and sometimes we're just communicating all day, and that made me thinking, so how can we get rid of that and get that feeling of, hey, we talked all day, but we never created any value for the company? How can we get rid of that? So I circled back a bit and thought about, okay, what is my personal habit, how I do that, what do I recommend to the team? So, and the two cues are, so one thing is start your day right, and the second one is take 3 to 5, depending on the time you need, targets that you set for that day, what you want to do, then you mark it and you close your day very happy. You can high five yourself, and you close the day with a very good feeling. So from all the messaging, from the emailing, what you get, that you are not overwhelmed, you have your targets, you have your yearly targets, the quarterly targets, and so on. The important part for me is when I say start your day right, that you get up in the morning earlier than thought. A lot of people are working now from home, sitting somewhere at the table, kids are moving around or so, once you get ready for the kindergarten, and just jumping out of the bed and start a day could not be the best advice. So start earlier than you thought, sit down, have a cup of coffee, some water, potentially move a bit, do some yoga, nothing big, maybe 15, 20 minutes, but get the blood flowing, right, get a head in the right space. So, and then just focus on what you want to do today. Potentially when you are at home, and by myself, I'm a father as well. So you cannot say no all day to your kids. So you have to sit down with them and play. But on the other hand, you have to prepare that call for the customers. So set the targets right for the day, prep it in the morning, write it down, and then you start that day. And from what you've written down, these are the topics you want to handle. All of us, we are in virtual meetings today, we have customer meetings, presentation, and so on. And that, it can be too much. And when you have a green button on your Teams, someone is always calling. So therefore, sometimes just say no, focus on those 3 to 5 points what you have today. You can be pretty sure that you close the day with a very good feeling in the end, and not just thinking like, hey, no value created for today. So no, it was beneficial for today for the company.
Cool. So start the day earlier than usual. Have a coffee, sit down, chill, do some yoga, some sports or something. Yeah. Very, very short can be very short. I like that because when you do something 5 minutes or 10 minutes, even that can change something in your day, and it's, everybody can do it, even if you have kids or something, other stuff to do. And the other one is setting goals. Now, question to you, Torsten, in regards to that. Did you set up with your team, was it a recommendation you had with your team, or was that something you built into your calendars that you did, like together, setting these goals, and then maybe at the end of the day, check if they were achieved, or how did you do that?
It's more like a recommendation that I do. when leading the team, I try to focus on a healthy environment. I mean, leading by numbers or just putting work on their desks is not the style I want to lead a team. It's more like, okay, how are those people feeling? What can I do as the sales leader that they have a successful, productive day and a good feeling in the end? So it's more like a recommendation, and I take taking a time, a couple of weeks, just listen. So what is going on? What can we do? Giving some advice here. And what we always do is in our team meeting on a Monday, setting the weekly goals. So these, I mean, we have from the company, we have the goals broken down from the overall target. That's fine. But setting weekly goals, and everyone can pick those targets and the tasks we have coming from the goals to fill the day. And this is what we discuss. We discuss the customer projects that are going on, what we want to reach through that week, but not really giving too much guidelines, not keeping it too close. So leave some room that a team can decide on their own when they do what task. So it's more like recommendation and just trying to push them a bit more in the right direction that we get the work done.
Okay, so we actually also established a very similar methodology. Just as an addition, we do a daily huddles basically every single day at 9 to 9:15. The whole company meets. It's like 30 people now. Mm-hmm. And everybody says their goals for the day. So it sounds mm-hmm. like, hey, I have a meeting with XY company and I want to set the follow-up meeting today and figure out the next. Mm-hmm. I want to get 2 referrals. I want to do 50 cold calls. We leave it to the people to say, hey, what they want to achieve. Mm-hmm. And I think, as you say, it's very motivating, and also accountability is a case there. But because when you say it in the morning that you want to get 2 referrals, mm-hmm. you'll make sure that you have those at the end of the day. It's just for yourself as well. And you see like these small improvements and achievements.
Yep, exactly. I take a lot of motivation from sports as well. So you have a big target, you want to go to some competition, lose some weight or whatever, but it is, I mean, you have to, first of all, you have to have a training plan, and that training plan is coming in small steps. So, and it's the same in the business world. You go the small steps, do the small improvements, but on a daily basis. So have a habit that you do that, and you will see in the end, I mean, we're talking about a long run, not about a sprint, that we're going to be successful there. So that's good. Personally, you mentioned that that 9 to 9:15 meeting. I had that in a previous company. We did that as well, like a stand up in the morning. And I decided not to have it because in the end, after half a year having a stand up in the morning, we just had discussions and we always went far over that 15 minutes because everyone was in the business, gained some experience, had an idea how to do it a bit better. So one is saying, hey, that is my target. The other one has an info on that. And then you start having those discussions. And I said, nah, let's try another way. And we have one team meeting now on a Monday and the rest is individual. So I mean, okay. We have with a team of 5 people, that's fine. The other one is just based on occasion. So 5 people or 5 direct reports is good to handle. But I keep it more in an individual way and try to listen a bit more what is going on at the moment.
And on that meeting on Monday morning, what is the agenda?
The agenda for the Monday. So we have the Monday morning is just sales ops. We talk about where are we at the moment. So where's the overall order income? Where's the turnover? I want to make that as transparent as possible for the team that it's not a leadership topic. No, everyone is involved and everyone has their own impact on the success of the company. So I do that as transparent as I can do. We check the sales funnel, what is coming in. I have a global responsibility. So sometimes there are early messages in the morning coming from Asia or late calls with the guys in the US. So check that, what's going on at the moment, who's taking what project in the important ones, where are we, what is needed to make the next step. And then we have a separate inbox that is just dedicated to our topics. We go through that inbox, what also came in that everyone knows, okay, this is at the moment, this is the workload we have on our table. And I try to avoid to say, hey, this is your project, you take that or take this. It's more like, hey, that's an interesting project, I want to do that. So leave it more to the people that they can decide what projects they want to. If they want to evolve a bit and say, hey, I'm not quite sure if I can do that today, but I want to learn that. Okay, hey, here's the project. If you need some coaching, some advices, let me know. I will care about that. Not by myself, but I'll find someone who can support, right? So this is how I try to do that, and that is what we do on Mondays. So we have a Wednesday meeting as well. That's in the most case a bit shorter. It's about more strategic and organizational topics, if we have just a thing that's coming more top down, explain that, or if the management. We had kind of a town hall meeting, so we got the slides afterwards. If there were some questions, answer the questions. And so this is what we do on Wednesdays. But that is more a very short one. The important one is on Monday.
Yeah. And you mentioned you don't like to lead with numbers necessarily, but rather with how people feel. Can you elaborate on that a bit? What would that be other than numbers during the day? How would that look like?
We have the numbers, we have the overall target for the company. So what I try to avoid is always reminding the people hey, don't forget the target, don't forget to make the calls, don't forget we have to hit, I don't know, 200k more this week. So this is not what I want to do. I want to more motivate the people that they have access to some dashboards where they can see where we are at the moment on order income and on turnover, and get them more in their own responsibility. Hey, there is something missing. Potentially we cannot hit the target this week. So hey, let's get a phone and dial, right? So and get it more in their own responsibility to do something instead of like pushing them and always having that number and hey, we have to fulfill that. It's more pushing them in the self-motivation. So this is what I try to do. It works pretty good. I mean, it takes some time. We're changing the culture a bit, that's for sure. And people who are for a long time on board, I absolutely love the experience, but we also should change a bit in how we work today, especially when everyone is working from remote. And you cannot walk like management by walking by at the desk and see what's going on. So it is a different way we should lead today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that the cultural change you said, or what do you want to change the culture from what to?
Good point. The culture we work today. The company is a very successful 70 years old machine builder. But also we have and we gained over the past 15 years a very, very good knowledge in software. But how we do that today, also when we move towards a digital ecosystem, it is a different way how we should work today to be successful with that as well. Not talking about that we want to be a total solution provider in the future, that's also a step to come. But where you see where the culture of the company is, it's like that we in the digital sales, we put basically the software on the hardware, right? Or other way around. we have to do it different. We have to follow that work environment that's typical for a software business, but we also have to take care about how is that successful business of machine building set up and where are they coming from. So be very aware about the legacy we have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the software, the culture in selling software? How is that different?
So from the machine business, it's like talking a lot about the engineering. Potentially, sales is sometimes not really in the first step. Sometimes you have a project manager, you have a maintenance guy talking to a customer. Hey, we could do also. Of course, you get the RFQs from the purchasing department, but some projects are very, very good established from the technical guys. When we talk about software, especially in the industry we are in the pharmaceutical industry, that it is a bit foreign to someone. I mean, especially when you know that your company is known for very good hardware, and the software is in a lot of cases new to them, then we do so. It's different. First of all, I mean, you have to overcome that you are capable of doing that as well, and make sure you. I mean, we are not SAP, of course, but that's a well-known word. But we can do also incredible things, and so just getting them in that. Hey. And the knowledge that we are able to do so. The other one is the smaller improvements. Putting a machine in a facility is fine. Everyone can see it. You can hear it. You can see what it does. But small improvements that are in a software environment are in the first step not really obvious. But changing with the release. The software version on an HMI and the operator needs 3 clicks instead of 10 before, that is a huge improvement. But then let's talk about the price. I mean, in the world we know, the machine, you can just calculate it pretty easy. You have the hardware, you need some engineering hours and put it in there. So in the software environment, some guys who are not really familiar with that say, yeah, okay, but he's still clicking on the touchscreen. He's 10 seconds faster. Yeah, of course. But then start talking about that, and we have those small minor steps as well, or smaller steps as well, where we are better now. And then you see it's a total different discussion. I mean, I have a mechanical engineering background, so total different discussions in software than in hardware today. So, and what we also figured out that, and therefore we founded that digital sales team, that we have a different approach in doing so, and also use more a pull principle instead of a push principle. So from what you know from social media, so creating that expert platform that you are someone who really can bring a benefit to the customer instead of pushing out and talk about that. So, and this is where the company is coming from and where we are today. So it's pretty interesting too, and I'm very, very happy to be a part of that movement we have in the moment and are able to change something, how we work or how we can work in the future.
What does that mean for requirements of salespeople that you hire, of their capabilities? Is that also, I mean, you describe selling hardware as something very different to software. One thing I understood is one reason why it's different is hardware is easier to build a business case. For instance, you put something in there, that thing produces something, and what can be produced, you can calculate and easily have a business case. Whereas with software, it's easier, it's small incremental improvements that you need to kind of justify and find a case. That's what I understood from what you said. What is the, correct me if that's wrong, and what does that mean for salespeople?
So the business case to calculate in software, I think it's pretty similar than in hardware. It is the industry where we are in, the pharmaceutical industry, is in a lot of facilities far away from having a good automation standard or even having a connected world in the facility. So making it transparent and good understandable to the people who will buy it, that's a different challenge, because that world is very new to them. I was surprised about that as well. So but when you check the analytics journey, so they are more at the beginning of that. That's a challenge for us. So from the sales people and from the sales people we want to hire, is I do not really care about a good industry background. Do I need that? No, I don't think so. Do I need someone who's strong in pharmaceutical industry? Could be beneficial, but it's not. For me, the most important thing is that you're enthusiastic about the product, that you understand it, and you can explain very well the benefits to the customer, and that you bring a good drive with you, that you have a good empathy, that you understand the customer needs. So it's more like focusing on the person, not really on the background. This is what I'm looking for. Of course, you have to have a basic knowledge in technology, but yeah, absolutely not too deep. For when sometimes the best sales people are these guys who really burn for product or for solution. These are the best because they can really convince you why that solution is the best. If you are not really burned for that, you potentially won't be the best one.
That's true, which is then dependent on the product. I do think that sales is the least important function when you look at sales, marketing, and product. Maybe that surprises some people when I say that, but I think, you know, a good product can be sold by mediocre salespeople. That's the case. Now, a bad product cannot be sold by amazing salespeople. That's really difficult. That's way more difficult. And the bad product cannot be sold, because one reason is probably that also salespeople, even if you're good and you have the skills that you just described, when you're not convinced, and I think very few people can be convinced still and can like overlook this and still sell the product. And maybe those you don't really want to necessarily have. That's probably the ones the Challenger sale book calls the lone wolves types, or I don't know. That's an assumption. Not sure if you've heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about that. I totally agree. So the product have to be good and worth it to take care about that. Otherwise, yeah, it just would not work. True point. So yeah, I mean, circling back, so what we discussed from what to do, and so from how to start a day and get that three to five topics that you close the day happily is this is what we try to do. Hey, these are the targets, or these are the tasks for the week. Get a three, and then you're good. Not talking about working hours or so that much. Just talking about results. So if you get that, okay, you're good, right? And I think that also will be a bit more like a culture change. With all what we have around us, I think it's absolutely valid to work in that way. And by the way, I mean, we're talking about all digital, but still I use that. I mean, you can see that on the camera, and I always have those pieces of paper. I write down my daily targets, and then I just cross it with a pen, and it's much better feeling than just having that on a sticky note or so and delete that note. No, it's like crossing with a pen.
Great you have it right there, Thorsten. Great you have it right there. Can you read, or can you give us examples what those daily targets look like for you?
The first one is, yeah, well, there's the number of a customer that I want to call, where we set a meeting. So that happened. We have a monthly sales report that I have to set up, that's coming from every sales leader. This is what I have to do. There's a call back one of our managing directors on a topic we want to clarify. I want to connect, and this is open. I want to reconnect to a coworker about we did a webinar, and now talking about that follow up. So we had a very great webinar, and now it's okay. What are the next steps? Get back to the people. And the last one is updating our CRM system, and this is the one here below that's also open. So nothing pretty big, a lot of communicating, but these are exactly that points that are needed, that we move on, that we talk about, okay, what are the next steps. Yeah, this is what I write down. There are two more on the list, and I'm good to go. But on the other hand, there are some meetings waiting for the rest of the day. But when I did that, I know that I closed the day very good.
Yeah, I like it. It's really very much how we use it, indeed, to come back to this. Because I had today, I put in, I mean, obviously I have the normal meetings that happen during the day, which are reactive, though I can't be that proactive with some meetings, right? So that happens, but I want especially proactive stuff. So like get two new referrals. So I have to ask you after that call as well, Thorsten. So we win one new opportunity, which I already have in mind. I just need to call and get it into the funnel, and I have to send out all the invitations for the CSO event personally. I'll do that for the event we do in Lausanne, because we build a CSO community in Switzerland. So that's how mine look like. And my salespeople say something like, I do 50 cold calls, I want to get two meetings today, or the account executives have a discovery with this person, and I want to get the next steps, or disqualify or qualify properly, something like this.
Yeah,
it works really well. So I like it that you put it on paper. I think that's a great tactical tip for everybody, and it works. And I think today you need something like, you need this accountability for yourself, but you also need the thought process that you go through. I know it's maybe at first for me, the emotional reaction was like, now I have, you know, I have something more to think of, but it's something really healthy to think of. If it's at the end of the day, of the next day, or the very first thing you do in the morning, that's so powerful to think about, hey, what I do want to achieve besides all those meetings that I have, what do I want to achieve today?
Exactly. And all of us knows that. I mean, open LinkedIn and 2 hours are gone.
Yes, exactly.
social media could be also sometimes a lot of time consuming. And you wanted just to post that you're hiring, but in the end, yeah, you lost a lot of time just because of you're lost on that website. So remind yourself sometimes.
Good example. And I finalized that with, yeah, it's all about not being reactive or being controlled by something else during the day. Like social media is, you're controlled by your LinkedIn feed, you're controlled by your Instagram or Facebook feed or whatever you use, or you're controlled by all the people who book meetings into your calendar.
Yeah. And
you want to have a proactive aspect in there. I think that's one of the key things.
Exactly.
Takeaway today. And I think that's an amazing takeaway, Thorsten. Very happy you took the time to talk your mind here, and we could elaborate on that topic. Thanks very much for joining.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me here, and have a wonderful week.
Thank you, you too.